Welcome to Run With It, Canada's running fitness and health program. On this month's episode, I was in conversation with Canadian Olympic athlete Jerome Blake, so stay tuned for that. But first, let's go to our segment with Dr. Bob Well on the importance of rest and recovery. Check this out. Joining me is Dr. Bob Well, and he's back on the show for the Sports Doctor is In segment. Welcome back, Dr. Bob.
Hey, Christy, nice to be with you, especially when you joined me last week on my show. So it's always fun trading shows with you, again, participating, helping educate your audience is always a great goal to have.
You know, it's always great to have you on the show, Dr. Bob. And this month, we're going to talk about the importance of rest and recovery, or intelligent rest. What does that look like, Dr. Bob?
Well, the first thing is to understand the awareness of how important rest and recovery is. It seems that forever the axioms that more is better, let's be more aggressive, let's really overload things, seems to really contribute to all sorts of overuse problems, other kinds of injuries. Sometimes it's the terrible twos where we're talking about we're too aggressive. Maybe we're increasing what we're doing too much, or we're just piling too many things on. And ironically, the awareness of how important rest and recovery is, from sleep medicine to nutrition to soft tissue and massage therapy to meditation, the whole mental game that we talk about on the Sports Doctor has become very, very important at all levels. Whether we're talking about someone who's looking to run 10 days a week like you used to, or we're looking to maybe, hey, listen, I'm going to double the mileage, or, you know, my daughter's playing tennis 6 days a week for 3 hours. Again, where we start to see the pressure to leave out the importance of rest and recovery. So we really want to talk about, number one, how important it is. We need an off season. We need our son or daughter who's in serious sports to take time off. And we also need, quote unquote, my famous intelligent rest, which is to really understand how important it is to pay attention to what your body is telling you and what your what your energy is telling you, and making it a point to include rest and recovery as just an important part of the training itself, the activity itself, and the whole pressure that goes into pushing yourself, trying to run through injuries. A lot of times we see things start as minor. And then, because again, in the world of running, is famous for this. And, you know, running is a lot of the same activities and same motions, pounding the body very, very aggressively, at least 3-4 times our body weight. So if we're aware of the importance of recovery, then we will include it in our approach.
Yes, and important to include our schedule, because I know from my own experience, and we also have a couple of questions, but it's like, if I take time off, that means I'm not going to get any better. So there is one question from John, who is who made the Boston podium. And
yes, well, I'm going to jump in for what you just said. The idea that if you take time off, you just won't be as good, and it's not true. You're not going to forget how to run and run well by taking time off. It's a mental challenge. This is why the awareness of how important these things are. Now, we're not saying you took 3 months off and you're coming back and whether you're going to be as good as you were. Of course you wouldn't be with that kind of training. But taking days here or there, or time off if you're hurting, in order to be able to recover, is a major point.
Yes. Yes. And so the question is, John asks, I don't like taking time off or rest because I lose some conditioning. How do you turn someone's mind into thinking, like, I know you just said that, making it part of your schedule, but yeah. Is there anything else? Like, it's...
Yeah, he'll be a better athlete. If, you know, there's two things all athletes care about. There's two things all parents and coaches care about. One, of course, is how do I prevent trouble? How do I prevent injuries? Whatever the sport is. Second thing is, how do I enhance performance? And the ironic part of this question for John is that the proper rest and recovery will make him perform better, will give him a positive edge, and to understand that that 15 minutes a day of doing some mental visualization, for example, meditating, relaxing, let your body recover is a major key, as are days off. So sometimes, you know, we the thinking is faulty that I'm going to lose my edge. I'm going to regress if I take time off. It's not true, but you want to be able to have some good feedback from your sports therapist, from your coach, from your physical therapist, on what type of time off has been successful. And in an athlete like this guy, who I know you said he's a snowshoer, he's a long distance runner, he's a trail runner. And again, rest and recovery has got to be an important part of what he's doing. And the reason he'll convince himself is he'll probably enhance his performance. Mm-hmm. Let's throw that back at him.
Yes, because Philip Gary Smith is, he does trail, he does snowshoeing, he does running. He's a, you know, just a long distance runner who are.
Yes. And his history, again, yeah. His particular individual history is key. If someone says, hey, listen, I've never had problems, I really feel great, I'd say, actually, it's hard to argue with what you're doing. Just include the recovery part is very, very important. But if we see somebody's history, that, you know, I've had knee trouble, you know, I've had sciatica, I've had foot ankle problems, et cetera, then the recovery and rest part, intelligent rest, means what's the situation? Did you step in a hole and turn your ankle? And we've got to pay attention to that. Or is it the fact that every time you hit a certain amount of miles in your experience, you start having some postural problems or et cetera? So you need to be able to intelligent rest with quotes means what's the situation and include the importance. If you need pain medicine, people, in order to continue what you're doing, you got a problem. And this is very, very common. The whole, we don't have to talk about the nightmare of pain pills and the whole idea of pain medicine and sports. But many times we see that, again, if it's over the counter. So when we're talking about an athlete that's that committed to long distance and trails and snowshoeing and et cetera, then we want to make sure that he's paying attention to what kind of problems he might have had in the past. And then again, making some plans to be proactive in doing the two things we talked about, preventing trouble,
yes,
enhancing performance. I mean, do you want to be two steps quicker or not, Christine?
Yeah, and especially, you know, as you know, for the older athletes, right, the rest and recovery comes really maybe more so into play.
Well, it's a good question. You know, is it more important than your 12-year-old cross-country runners? Concerns, or your 13 or 14 year old figure skater who's doing 200 double jumps a week? And again, the older athlete, you know, one of my colleagues, again, who's been on the show, Noah Perlis, you know, who's in his 70s, is a competitive sprinter.
Wow.
He's had his share of world records. So both sides of the equation are key, no exception. Every serious athlete should consider massage therapy a couple times a month. That's my pearl for the week for you guys. Soft tissue massage therapy for recovery and healing, major weapon, no side effects.
Yes, and if you're doing a long competition, again, is that you would bring maybe be a good idea to bring a massage therapist with you if you can,
or somebody. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, how often, you know, a couple times a month. You know, again, sometimes we'll look at the same thing, chiropractic care, you know, body alignment, the whole role of the foot in sports. So again, a lot of times you get back to that individual person. What's your history? Have you had problems? Are you doing too much? Are you constantly dealing with one overuse injury or another? So these are the things we want to pay attention to and then stress to you that the mental side of things include rest and relaxation, whether you're visualizing, whether you are relaxing for 15, 20 minutes a day. It's tremendous for recovery. And also, again, pay attention to your nutrition with the whole idea of recovery in mind. This is the big part of the new sports medicine, these things that we've known forever, but we have to constantly be reminded, because small problems can turn into real hassles where serious time off becomes therapy, treatment becomes a big deal. And that's where intelligent rest maybe can nip that in the bud, if you know what we're talking about, the idea of it being very, very important to include it, Christine.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. And if people want to listen to your show or want more information, where can they go?
If they go to sportsdoctorradio.com, if they go to radio shows, they can see years of shows and information. We have gigantic followings on both LinkedIn as well as Twitter. A lot of information at sportsdoc.com/radio. My show is live every Wednesday, 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. We have a couple of guests. You go to radio shows, check out this week. Christine was on with us with a fantastic guest from Finland, Adrian Harrell, PhD, changing the world in the world of concussions and concussion technology. So they could check us out everywhere, Christine, like you.
Yes. And your book?
Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. It's such a key topic. You know, my co-author, Hall of Fame volleyballer, Sharky Zartman, she's a podcast host with the Great Healthy Life Radio. She's coached, was the national team in volleyball. And the role of parents in steering their children who might be playing sports very seriously at young ages. I mean, I have 10-year-old figure skaters who are skating already 10 days a week. So this becomes a challenge, and it's supposed to be fun. And for our sports parents out there, here's one of the pearls again, the late colleague, Dr. Jim Vickery, sports psychologist, who said to sports parents, don't be a critic. Think about it.
Thank you.
It's on Amazon. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Again, I enjoy the segments we do together on your show, and we're always glad to add to the educational arm. Thanks for what you do, Christine.
Thank you. We'll have you back next month.
See ya.
Joining me is one of Canada's elite sprinters, Jerome Blake, fresh off his first Olympic Games in Tokyo. And he's here today to talk about his 4x100-meter performance, his bronze medal performance, his future with the Canadian track and field team, his charity work, and his acting and modeling career. Welcome, Jerome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so congratulations on your bronze medal 4x100 meters. And tell us, how excited were you?
It's a pretty cool experience, you know. It was it's a lifelong dream in a sense, you know, to go to the Olympics and get yourself a medal and all that. So for me, it's a blessing of the fact that, you know, there's no medals at the Olympics is guaranteed to any one person. So for me to go there and come home with one of three medals, that's, you know, it's a pretty cool experience, and it's a blessing for me.
Yeah. So Jerome, you had your mentor, right? Aaron Brown. What was that like?
It was actually pretty cool, you know, cause, we actually came full circle. I remember in 2018 and 2019, you know, just like working with him as my mentor and, you know, just learning from him, learning from everyone else. And, you know, just understanding that like there's a next level to where I'm trying to go. And, you know, with his help and his mentorship, it helped me out a lot to get to the point where I'm at right now and still learning as I go. And, you know, having him in my corner as my training partner is even more, you know, impressive. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. you know, performing in your first Olympics on the world stage, what did it feel like? I mean, you as a team, but being your first Olympic in Tokyo, and
it was pretty cool because, you know, because of the pandemic and stuff like that, and the way the games were set up, in a sense, you couldn't really do most of the traditional stuff apparently you do at the Olympics. I don't really know personally what the traditional Olympics is like. All I know is, you know, you go and you couldn't leave the village and all that. So I think it really gave us a chance to really bond as athletes, and, you know, for the relay team, it really gives an opportunity to really just hang out with each other and spend a lot of time together and stuff like that. So I feel like that helped us out a lot to just, you know, just relax and, you know, spend some time and get to learn a little bit more about each other as we go. So it was quite a bit of fun.
Yes. And Jerome, like, I understand that your medal would be upgraded to a silver pending a potential disqualification of the British team. Is that, do you know?
I actually, this is almost like news to me because I don't really, like, I'm on my phone, but I'm not really on the internet that much. So yeah. I don't really, yeah, actually, this is the first time I'm hearing about that. So, like, that's pretty cool. But, you know, as of right now, I know I got a bronze medal. I'm happy with mine. So I'm celebrating that one for now.
Yes. And, well, tell us about your training now.
Right now I'm actually on a break. So, you know, I'm trying to spend some time with friends and family and, you know, just try to get grounded again. And before I go back to training in November. So I have a couple more weeks here. I'm just relaxing and enjoying my time off. And then I go right back to training again, get ready for Worlds and, what's that? Worlds and Commonwealth for next year. So yeah, get ready for both of those championships.
Yeah. So how do you relax?
I'm actually trying to do that, learn how to do that, because I've been stuck in a routine for a year and a bit, you know, just practice home. So now I'm like, you know, just trying to, I guess, like build a routine of, like, you know, I go to bed a little later, I wake up a little later, you know, I'll try to spend some time with friends and family as I go and, you know, have a drink here, there, maybe, and, you know, go out for some dinners and stuff like that. So it's been a pretty new and learning experience for me right now, just, you know, learn how to relax and not have a routine. So
yes. And, you know, tell us about your charity work, Stepping Stone.
Yeah, for sure. So Stepping Stone is a charity that I created in likeness of me, because when I moved to Canada, my first coach, Pat from Kelowna, we you know, she helped me a lot with whatever she could, whether it's financially and, you know, driving me to track meets and stuff like that, that my mom couldn't drive me to. So it was pretty cool, you know, and I told her that, you know, if I ever make it past where I'm at in the sport, I'll pay her back all the money she spent on me. And she said, don't worry so much about paying me back, help somebody. So I for years I sat and tried to figure out what would be the best thing to do. I can't just, you know, like help one person. I want to, you know, I want to change people's lives in whatever way I can. So I thought, you know, I have to have some good people around me to create something that you know, of this magnitude that I'm trying to do. So, you know, I waited a couple of years and, you know, and then I finally found a great team to put it together, and we put it together. And now, you know, we're working on some great things, and we have some big news coming up in a couple of weeks here with Stepping Stone. And so it should be, you know, it should be big. So it was created in the likeness of me, just, you know, to give back to my community and give back to Canada.
Yes. And it's a mentorship program for youth to get into shape and to follow in your footsteps, right?
In a sense, you know, cause like how life works, you know, it's not so much about sports itself. So for me, I think it's just like, whether in sports or out of sport, because the great thing is that if you can learn something from somebody who's making daily sacrifices with their lives, that's very powerful. So I feel like, you know, having, whether it's a business person or an athlete, you know, just speak to somebody and say, hey, like, you know, I've done this and this and this to get where I'm at. And, you know, we think if you can do this and this and this, you could, you know, you might not get where I'm at, but you can get to where you believe you can get to. So that's pretty much, you know, our goal, to change a lot of people's lives.
Right. And so, you know, to get involved or to find out more information, where can we go?
You can go to steppingstone.org and online, or you can follow us on Instagram on steppingstone.org as well. So yeah, or just go to my Instagram page, Jerome Blake, and it, the links are all there to, you know, follow us and, you know, keep in touch. And we have some big news coming again soon. So in a couple of weeks here, we'll be, you know, onboarding a lot more people. So it should be fun.
It's wonderful. And I love the name, Stepping Stone.
Yeah, thank you.
I just love it. So congratulations.
And thank you very much.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was, you know, looking at your Instagram account and I see actor, model. I mean, that's so exciting. So tell us about that. I mean, I love your outfits and yeah, so tell us.
Thank you. For me personally, you know, I met someone and they told me like, oh, you have a character that you need to develop more. Like, you're a very fun and outspoken person. You need to be that person. You can't, you know, like, you have a talent here. So I was like, what is that talent? And he said, well, for one, well, I didn't know this, but he said, you're a Leo, and Leo's like the dress up. Doesn't matter what you're doing, you like to dress up. And I was like, that might be true, because I do like to dress up. So, you know, I decided to join a model agency, and, you know, they put me in touch with some really good people. And now I guess I'm one of the most popular models in Vancouver, I guess. So,
wow. You know,
I look for some pretty cool stuff, and I have some pretty cool stuff in the next couple of days here as well. So it should be quite interesting. And with the acting stuff as well, actually someone put me in touch again with a acting agent, and she told me I should take some classes, and I took some classes and off I went, and, you know, got my foot wet a little bit, and I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, and you know, you should have your own clothing line maybe one day.
Yeah, that's a plan one day, but as of right now, I don't think I could manage doing all of that right now, but hopefully one day though. That's definitely something I would love to get interested in.
Thanks for watching. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, go to our website, which is runwithit.ca. Until next time, run with it.